Rebel Maid with singing stars Peggy Allen and William Laird. Back to the England of 1688, to the home of Lord Milverton in Devonshire. 1688, with King James on the throne, the Prince of Orange and the Offing. Lord Milverton is talking to his guests.
Friends and neighbors, I bring you good news. His gracious majesty has been pleased to appoint my nephew Sir Stephen as his royal commissioner in order that the rebellion may be put down with a firm hand. Long live King James!
Long live King James!
There, nephew Stephen. Marked you their loyal cries?
Egad, I hope your lordship's in the right. Yet, for the Lord Harry, my information is positive. Arms and men are being landed on this Devonshire coast. Many persons of substance are secretly concerned in the plot.
Poppycock! Have you discovered the names of any of them?
The plot is so secret, the conspirators scares no one another. But their leader is reported to be a lady of quality. Young, rich, and fearless. Known as, Snow Bunting.
And who is the adorable heroine of romance and mystery?
That, my lord, is one of the secrets I intend to find out. But, while looking to capture rebels, let me tell you, sir, that I myself am fallen captive to that fascinating creature, your guest, Lady Mary. Faith, sir, I'm caught.
Then let me make haste, nephew, to set you free again.
My cousin, but he still travels abroad.
He's home again. Here he comes now.
When high adventure makes its call, young blood runs hot and free, and youth demands to seek his luck where fortune may decree. Then off he goes across the world in sunshine or in rain, but happiness he seldom finds till he comes home again. Oh, the old, old home with its old sweet air, and the high old time in the old barn there. To the lasses the old, old tale was told. What a pity we ever gold, old, old. What a pity we ever grow old. And when he's trodden foreign soil and sampled foreign ways, he wants the country lanes at home, he wants the April days. He wants the lass he left behind, he seeks her match in vain. So with a smile of joy he turns and marches home again. Oh, the old, old home with its old sweet air, and the high old time in the old barn there. To the lasses the old, old tale was told. What a pity we ever grown old, old. What a pity we ever grown old.
Derek, my boy, welcome back to England.
Sir, father.
To my arms, boy. So you've come back to settle down at last.
Not quite yet, sir. My cutter lies in the channel. I have some little business still to dispatch.
Wait till you see the surprise I have for you. There'll be no more talk of not being here. If you won't wait for your old father, you will for her.
Her? Who is the lady?
The daughter of a dashing cavalier who gave his life for the Stuarts at Tedgemoor.
Ah, a loyalist?
Your old playmate, Lady Mary.
What? That freckled little girl?
Freckled little girl? Wait till you see her, boy. Wait until you hear her. All sunshine and laughter.
Sunshine and laughter, happy and free. Flowers of the meadow and color of the sea. Wonder of life at early dawn. Gladness of joyous fruit when the love is newly born.
Sunshine and laughter, happy and free.
Come here, Mary. Do you recognize this precious rogue?
Derek! Mr. Lanscombe, how broad you are. How brown.
Yes, the complexion of a blood orange.
Who said that? Ah, 'tis you, my fond cousin.
I trust you brought no infectious affections from abroad?
None, except an increased affection for England and for liberty.
I hope my cousin's arrival will not make her ladyship forget our promised visit to the gypsies.
Your fortunes and mine, Sir Stephen, lie so far apart that we should only bewilder the poor creatures by seeming to unite them.
Nay, let me entreat your ladyship's permission.
To take your leave? Oh, dear Sir Stephen, you might have taken that for granted.
Egad, Mary, your looks have improved, but your language is as plain as ever.
Your return may improve it.
But my stay is short. I go away again tomorrow.
An unavailing little lady, sadly must I go and lonely, rough the path I have to follow, rough and steep the way I travel. I would gladly learn your laughter, but the gift is not within me. I can only hear your music from my distant bourne of shadows, faintly calling. I am pledged to greater service, strong the power that drives me onward, onward to the desert places where your voice is but a whisper. Where the blossoms fade when wither, when the noonday sun is risen, still in fancy I may find you, when the day's high work is over, in my dreaming. When the sun is risen, still in fancy I may find you, in my dreaming. In my
And while that simple little romantic scene was being enacted, much was happening in plot and counterplot in that quiet Devonshire countryside. Take the loyal but odorous Sir Stephen, for instance.
Come here. I have something of importance.
Good, Sir Stephen. Good. What is it, sir?
That girl, Abigail.
Lady Mary's maid, sir?
I heard her talking with one of my cousin's men. She asked him to get a letter from a fisherman at Torbay. He got it all right.
I don't understand, sir.
Then listen and you shall. I borrowed the letter and made a copy of it. The girl has the original now and will, no doubt, deliver it to her mistress.
Oh, mistress?
The letter starts, from Commander of Cutter Curlew, that's my cousin Derek, to Snow Bunting, that's the name they give the rebel maid, whom I believe to be the Lady Mary. Order your men to horse. We leave at once.
For where, sir?
Torbay. I'll detail the rest of the plot as we ride. Come quickly. Here come the Lady Mary and the girl.
Abigail. Abigail, did you get it?
Yes, madam, here it is.
Oh, at last. From Commander of Cutter Curlew to Snow Bunting. If coast is clear, show green light on Thursday at 10. If there's danger, show a red signal. Abigail, we must pack for home tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, and you were getting off so nicely with your old sweetheart again.
If you refer to Mr. Lanscombe, he also is going away tomorrow.
Your ladyship does not think he's in our plot.
I wonder. He must have been warned, as I have, not to trust his nearest and dearest friend. Yet Derek might trust me.
You? Whose father died fighting for the king?
How then if I told him that I am Snow...
Oh, madam! Tell him whose father is the king's loyal lieutenant, or he'd have us all drawn and quartered, and perhaps even killed.
He told me nothing.
Maybe he can't tell you what he wants to tell you.
Don't let me dream, Abigail.
Yes, madam, why not? There may come a waking when the dream will come true.
When the dream of love you cherish, let all dull forebodings perish. If the fruit is on the bough, then be wise and pluck it now. Cause of you so quickly flying, hid as they are far the sign. While you mope and idly ponder, love may be buried in your window. Come what may, let be gay, when the sun hangs there is low. Love may stand close at hand, but you do.
So the curtain falls on Act One of The Rebel Maid. Two nights later, a group of fishermen sat in the inn on Berry Bay opposite Torbay, where William Prince of Orange waited with Derek for the signal.
Open up there! Lady Mary's fallen from a horse. Landlord, a room for the lady.
Oi, sir, follow me.
Lean on me, madam. This way.
That's better.
Then you're not hurt, madam.
Foolish girl. Did my acting deceive you, too? See, I never felt more nimble.
Then you're
fallen. Do you think I'd fall from a horse if I didn't want to? Strategy, Abigail. Pure strategy. It occurred to me in a flash when I saw the village filled with redcoats and knew Sir Stephen was here. I had to think up an excuse for staying here all night.
We're in a tight place, madam.
Aye. Now open the chest and bring out the lanterns.
My hand shakes so I cannot find the spring.
Silly girl, let me try. Look, my old riding cloak. Ah, it will not be safe to wear you again, old friend. Yet, who knows? It might do me another turn yet.
How, my lady?
Who knows? If it were cut and hemmed, do you think your deft fingers could fashion it into a wedding gown?
An old-fashioned cloak of faded blue, from its peg on the wall it looked down, and it fell in love as it well might. With a beautiful silken gown, said the old-fashioned cloak with an old-fashioned air, to the silken gown was young and fair. When you come like me to be flung aside, will you take my hand? Become my bride. still or bed. If your hand ever laid under the sand, say the prayer.
My lady, it is time to light the signal.
Yes, it is 10 o'clock. Get it ready.
What are you doing, child? That is the green light, the signal that the coast is clear.
Oh, I to be sure, 'tis the red lamp we want tonight to warn them of danger.
But Mary had not counted on Sir Stephen's knowledge of the plan, and Sir Stephen changed the red lantern for a green one. The first wave of men came ashore and found the redcoats. There was fighting in the inn.
They must have been betrayed somehow. Is Derek out there? Is he in danger? I wonder.
Close that door. Give me that bar, whoever you are. Pray excuse this unceremonious visit, Mary.
Derek!
Mary, it's you. You here?
You're hurt.
Not a scratch. But you, why are you here?
You were pursued.
Yes, I know. But I don't understand.
Then you were on the curlew.
How do you know?
But the signal.
Ah, you knew of that treachery, too.
Treachery? Sir Stephen.
Is he here?
He only left me a few minutes ago.
Stephen here with you?
Then if you're safe, I think I'd better go.
Don't go.
You wish me to stay?
Yes.
Then let the devil and all his legions come.
Sweetheart, I stay.
Now stand we on the summit of the hill.
This is a moment with all redeemed.
The following morning was a sorry one for Mary.
Abigail, why haven't they arrested me? They're using you as a candle, my lady, and Mr. Derrick is the moth. That Sir Stephen has drawn his red coats away and just left a few men in hiding.
But they told him I had set the lantern that lured him.
Half an hour later, Derrick entered the inn and was welcomed enthusiastically by the fishermen of the village.
Well, lads, the day is ours. You saved my life last night. And now, by bringing King William's ships in safely to Torbay, you've saved the liberties of England. Thanks, thanks, my hearty thanks to you all.
We've done no more than our duty.
That's the talk. Duty. The spirit of the seafaring man. The gallant spirit that scorns danger and conquers the storm. The brave, sturdy, generous spirit of the fishermen of England.
Around the shores of England that stretch towards the sea, there dwell an ancient people, and they labor mightily. In havens unfrequented that a busy life forgets, the fishermen of England are working at their net.
In a haven unfrequented that a busy life forgets, the fishermen of England are working at their net.
In tiny vessels they defy the perils of the deep, and scan the water's dreary waste with eyes that never sleep. And when at night you safely lie in blankets snug and warm, the fishermen of England are riding out the storm.
And when
blind, the children of the storm arise and leave their nets behind. With merry youth and laughter and a smile upon their lips, a fisherman of England go down to sea in ships.
With
I'm used to that.
Oh, why did you come back?
To make sure of Lady Mary's safety.
You know then that Sir Stephen threatens to arrest her.
Arrest Mary? Why?
Because she contrived your escape last night.
Mary? I thought she betrayed me.
You really believed that?
Mary.
You thought I was false to you, and yet came back to save me.
Oh, love does not reason nor haggle nor keep a debit and credit account. It seeks only to give.
My lady, Mr. Derrick, Sir Stephen is here, the soldier.
Out of my way, wench. As I expected. The trap was set, and the fool walked in. As for you, Lady Mary.
Yes, you know now.
That you are both rebels, and both your lives are forfeit.
Sir Stephen, the Prince of Orange has landed. His troops are on us.
And my rebel maid was never captured.
Your rebel maid surrenders.
With merry oath and laughter and a smile upon their lips, the fishermen of England, the fishermen of England, go down, go down.
Rebel Maid, you heard Elizabeth Wing, Moira Farrow, Don Moore, Stuart Ginn, and Jim Tregoning. Your singing stars, Peggy Allen and William Lett. Orchestra and chorus was conducted by Burton Williams. Your narrator was Morris Keller. Rebel Maid was produced by Alfred Potter and directed by Cedric Zahara.